Titus 2 and 1. They speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine. That aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train, here's what they teach, that they may train the young women to love their husbands. Of course, Christ, who is our husband, tells us that the only way we can love Him is to keep His commandments. And so it is with the woman and her husband too. That they may train up the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home. Notice that, workers at home. This is God's best. Not making any law here. If anybody is otherwise minded, the Bible says, we're not to argue with them. Okay? But this is God's best here, and I'm going to tell you, we're headed back to there. It says, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, so that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is God's best. It's His plan that the woman be a worker at home. There'd be a lot less divorces if a lot of women worked at home. And if a lot of women who were out in the job market, who were taking authority over men, didn't have to try to switch positions when they went home. It's pretty hard to do. The woman has authority under the husband, but over the household and the children. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents. Parents, that's the husband and the wife, in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. 1 Timothy 5 and 14. I desire, therefore, the younger widows marry. Widows, of course, was added in. But considering the text in 1 Timothy 5 and 14, it appears like it's correct. Not just wives or women. I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household. Give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. Rule the household. So the woman has been given the authority under the husband as head over the household, which is, of course, including the children. I remember one time way back when I was in a Pentecostal church 30-something years ago, there was a woman that a lot of people in that church really respected and enjoyed her teaching. And I was one of them. I enjoyed her teaching. But at the same time, I was reading the Bible diligently, and I'd read all these verses and wondered, what's wrong here, Lord? This doesn't seem to compute, you know? Of course, we didn't worry about computing back then, but it wasn't computing in my mind. I was confused. And I went to the Lord about it, and I'll tell you what He told me. He told me that He would use for good anyone that put themselves in the position of authority or were put in a position of authority by men, He would use them for good. All vessels of honor or dishonor, according to Romans chapter 9, are the Lord's. God uses them no matter what. If you read Romans 9, you'll see what I'm talking about. He uses all vessels. It doesn't matter whether the vessel's right or wrong, He uses them. We have a good example here with Brother Terry. You know, we prayed for Brother Terry, and he was in a mental institution, and God sent two totally unsaved people to him, totally maniacal people who were mentally deranged, suddenly came into the right mind, and the woman brought him a bunch of verses, and the man gave him a Bible, and as soon as they did this, they went right back to being crazy, hugging the wall, hiding in the corner. And so Terry, the next day, tried to speak to these people, and come to find out, the woman never said, denied she ever spoke to him, and the man said he never gave him a Bible, which he did. They were just lost people. But you see, God can use people like He used a donkey in the Old Testament, Numbers. He can use anybody. This has nothing to do with whether that person is saved or not. There have been ministers who have preached the Word and seen many souls saved, only to find out years later they weren't saved themselves. Many of them have admitted to it. You see, it has nothing to do with whether a person's going into the kingdom, whether they're used of God or not. Okay? In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." This is exactly what the Lord was telling him. There are many people that call him Lord, but if they're not obeying in their own life for themselves the Lord, then he's not their Lord. He said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? By thy name cast out demons, by thy name do many mighty works." And you know what? The Lord did not deny this. He didn't say, "No, you didn't." Verse 23, it just goes on, it says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Notice that. People were casting out demons, doing mighty works, you know, mighty works by the hand of the Lord. And yet the Lord said, I never knew you. You know what it is to know? I kind of dug into this one time. I discovered it was talking about like when Adam knew Eve. It's a personal relationship between a man and a woman. You know what? When God sows his seed in us, that's when he knows us. You know what the seed was in the parable of the sower? It was, actually, there's a word there for seed that's the word sperma. And it was the Word of God. When God knows us, it's because we're receiving in fertile ground his Word. We're humbly submitting to his Word. That's personal. Now, can I go out and preach to others? Well, Paul said it. He said, "Lest after I have preached to others, I myself would be reprobated." Adokimos, reprobated. The great Apostle Paul said he kept his body in submission, lest after he preached to other people, he would be reprobated. You see, folks, God can use you mightily. That has nothing to do with whether you're going to be saved. And I want to tell you that a lot of women who are taking authority over churches, teaching and taking authority over men, they're out of line. They're disobeying God's Word. They're in rebellion. They need to repent. It doesn't matter if they preach a good word. They may be very good at it. God will use them. In fact, they might lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. They might preach to the lost and the lost get saved. It has nothing to do with whether they're even going to enter the kingdom or not. We can preach, teach, cast out demons, prophesy. But if we're not sent by God, we're just doing our own egotistical will. And we're building our house on the sand, as he went on to say. God's people need help. And he will use, in many cases, whoever they submit to. Even if that person is not personally submitted to God. Verse 26 in that text says, "And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man," and doeth them not, excuse me, "shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Notice in the very text he's telling you that personally, you have to build your own house. Some say, wouldn't God speak to these women and warn them against exercising authority over men? Folks, all you've got to do is read the New Testament one time, and you find that he's done that. Remember that the rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his family. In Luke 16:29, it says, "But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets." In other words, they have the Word of God. They have his commands. "Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead." Of course, one did, Jesus. In other words, he was making them responsible to pay attention to the written word. What did they say? You think you want God to go and tell these women and speak to them, "Look, I told you the truth in my word"? He's not going to do it. For the same reason. Those that hear God's word and willfully rebel and justify themselves will have judgment. their house will prosper. This is these verses say. Oh, they might be famous in the world. The other day people were talking about how that the Pope was lauded by everyone. Folks, if that would have been Jesus, they would have been putting him on his cross again. If you're famous in the world, Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. All you've got to do is agree with this word, which is so contrary to the people of this world, and they will hate you. It's very simple. Very simple. So when you find religious leaders that are acceptable to masses of the world, and they're all following after them, just know that there's something wrong there. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth. There remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. Folks, warn these women so that they repent while there is time. And if any of you are listening to me now, you repent before while there's still time. Because we're coming, folks, to what I shared the other day is the last 7 days. And what the last 7 days was called, the last 7 days God's people were in Egypt, was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the last 7 days, anybody that found that leaven was found in their houses, they were cut off from among the people of God. I'm warning you right now. Right now, God is being merciful with a lot of foolishness. But very quickly, you're going to see that the people who continue to disagree with the Word of God are going to have less and less grace. Even while they continue to try to support their own man-made kingdoms, they're going to have less and less grace. They're going to fall away. They're not going to want anything to do with this ministry that's coming. And I'm not saying that every one of these women that's doing it right now is lost. But I am saying that they're ignorant. God's been merciful with their ignorance. But they need to be warned that the Word of God is true. And forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. God's not going to change His mind. He's not going to change it for the whims of society. Matthew 5:19, whosoever there be that shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. I have seen this happen with women who were taking a position of authority and teaching men while they justified with all manners and methods their position. Some of them say, well, I'm doing this in obedience to my husband. But that's a lie. We just saw who our spiritual husband, what our spiritual husband had to say about this, right? And so we've had them say, well, there was no man to do the job. Well, it doesn't matter. You're breaking the word. I mean, all the excuses I've ever heard were just paper thin. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Sometimes we're going to see when we get into the kingdom fully how very reversed everything is in the kingdom to the kingdom of this world. You know, in the world, the people who are considered spiritual and great are nothing like the people that are going to be in the totally in the kingdom. And are going to be called great. We'll be surprised how just humble and submissive people are going to be great in the kingdom of God. People that were not famous on this earth, not liked on this earth, persecuted on this earth. Some use a verse that was given through Paul to say that all these other verses don't apply. You heard it. Galatians 3:28. There can be neither bond nor free. They can be neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Or one man in Christ Jesus. You know something about this verse? It's not that we're not distinct or different or separate from one another. But we're all unified in the Lord. Obviously we're distinct. Obviously we're separate. But we're one in Christ. This text is not talking about the differences of the ministries, the differences of the ministrations, the differences of the sexes. It's not talking about any of that. It's talking about that we are not separate. We are one in Christ Jesus. This means that there's no division. This does not mean that the woman need not obey the man any more than it means that the children need not obey the woman. In Ephesians 6:1, we see clearly that the children had to obey the woman. And in this text it says there's neither bond nor free, but in Colossians 3:22 it tells plainly the bondservants to obey their free masters. The same man wrote both of these verses, folks. How can he mean one thing over in Ephesians and Colossians and a different one here in Galatians? You would be making both God and Paul schizophrenic to use that verse that way. You use one verse to annul all the verses in the Bible that have to do with the woman submitting to authority and not teaching or taking authority over the man. How can you do that? You know, but I know that people will go to great extent if they have a lust to rule and to have a position of authority. They will go to great extent to pervert and to twist the Word of God. Again, neither Paul nor the Father were schizophrenic when they spoke this verse. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. God's not going to change his mind. For neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. In other words, here's a reason that's true in that day and in our day. You'll notice every time a reason is given, it has nothing to do with that day, as some people say. Because it's no different in our day. It's still true that the woman was made for the man. Still true. So therefore, God's not moving from this verse. He's not budging. Notice that the word man is used here, not husband. So this, again, carries over into the workplace, church government, secular government. I'm not only asking you to believe the word so that you don't get deceived by this perverted society. Now, not even one elder in our new covenant was a woman. I want to point out to you. In fact, I wrote this in an article that I have on my site. And when I wrote it, God spoke something to me. I wrote, not one elder in our new covenant was a woman. None of the 12 or of the 70 or those that followed after them were women. And when I actually got to that word, the Lord corrected me. And I wrote it right there in the article. He said, except Jezebel. Now listen to me, folks. Everything I said was true. Except Jezebel. She was mentioned to be an elder in the church. But that was one I had not thought of. And I'm thankful that the Lord corrects me. In Revelation 2:20, let me point out to you a couple of Jezebels and what they actually represent in the Bible. Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. You know, let me say this. A prophetess cannot go and lead people astray. This is not a prophetess from the Lord. Neither can a minister go out and lead people under the law. Not one that is sent by the Lord is never going to do that. Jesus was very particular with his ministers. He made sure that they had true doctrine before he sent them out. Even then, they had some problems. But he made sure that they taught the truth before he sent them out. And it's the same today, folks. Maybe your Bible college will send them out without truth and full of error. But the Lord's not doing that. Men are doing that. Okay. This I have against thee, thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teacheth. That's forbidden. And seduceth my servants to commit fornication. Again, know what fornication is? It, spiritually speaking, it would be as if you received a seed that was not your husband. Seed of the world. Oh, this is the way they do it today, David. Nonsense. That's a seed of the world. You're departing from the Word of God, which is God's seed. Right? And to eat things sacrificed to idols. Let me tell you something about it, folks. If you respect men more than you respect the Word of God, if you respect a certain doctrine, a pet doctrine, or religion, more than you respect the Word of God, then you've got an idol. You should be repenting and changing your mind tonight if I'm speaking anything contrary to what you felt, thought, and acted upon. Verse 21. And I gave her time that she should repent. The same is true today, folks. God is giving time for people to repent. That God doesn't judge you immediately does not, should not say to you that you're okay. Be quick to change your mind when you read the Word. I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and then we commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Well, that little type and a shadow, folks. Except they repent of her works. So you see, it's not only her, it's those that listen to her, those that submit to her. The Jezebel. They're going into great tribulation if they don't repent quickly. That's anybody out there, folks, that's submitting to a woman who takes authority in the church. Folks, that's what the Bible speaks of Jezebels. I don't care how correct they are, Jezebel was one who ruled over her husband. And in this case, a woman is taking the position of an elder or a teacher in the church, or a prophet in the church. And he says, except they repent of her works, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. So notice, God is going to judge the people of God according to what they do. Not according to what they say, not according to what their faith or anything else, according to what they do. Do you think it's an accident that this rebellious woman elder was threatened along with those who submitted to her with great tribulation? There's another Jezebel in the Old Testament that gives the exact same type of shadow. Ahab was destroyed because he followed his wife, Jezebel. She also represented the harlot who was destroyed by the beast. 1 Kings 21 and 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. Interesting. The beast ate the harlot. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heaven eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, verse 25, who did sell himself to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. There it is again, folks. The man obeying the husband. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that it brought a curse upon the whole world. And it's still that way today, folks. We're warned.
The man obeying the wife.
Huh?
Instead of the man obeying the husband.
Yes, sorry. Man obeying the wife. Thank you, Bill.
Come on.
Doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. In a perfect parallel to this, the beast in Revelation 17 devours the harlot. And the birds in Revelation 19 and 17 devour the corporate beast that she represented. Revelation 17:3. In Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Now, certainly that means what we're talking about today, including a lot of other things, surely, but it at least means what we're talking about today. There are Jezebels out there today who rule their husband, rule the church. It is forbidden. I don't care if they're good teachers. I don't care if they're humble people. They're not humble to the Lord in this respect, because they have no foundation in the Scriptures to do what they're doing. It is forbidden. Okay? You say, well, God's blessed them. Yeah, in some cases He has, you know, but in some cases it's because they haven't been faced with this. Let me point out something to you. Jesus, when He came to the Pharisees, said, if I hadn't come and spoken unto you, you wouldn't have sin, but now you've got no excuse for your sin. Once He faced them with the Word of God, they were responsible. Now, I want to tell you the same thing is going to happen in our day. A man-child ministry is going to face the people of God with the true Word of God. And God's been merciful up to this time. But again, we're coming to the last 7 days when the man-child's ministry begins. And the truth is going to be shared, and they're going to be responsible. I can tell you that there's so many are so anxious to twist and pervert the Scriptures, and they don't realize that it could cost them their life. Both Jezebels were women who took authority, which was illegal for them to have. I woke up one time about 2 o'clock in the morning and just began talking to the Lord. One of the things I spoke to Him about was the scriptural foundation for what we call women's ministries. I had noticed that some women getting more and more self-willed and rebellious against their husbands while they were associating in these women's ministries, which are supposedly helping women to learn to love their husbands. And the Lord spoke to me. He told me that there were a lot of independent and or divorced women in those ministries. And if the commands to women are not taught, that they would leaven the whole body. He said that if the elder women did not teach these commands, that all would be in rebellion. No, Peter said that if any man speaks, he should speak as an oracle of God. Meaning, we should teach what God teaches in His Word. We should say what God says in His Word. He said that if they were teaching other doctrines other than those covered by those commands, that they were out of order. That's what the Lord told me. These other doctrines were to be taught by elders or the husbands at home. 1 Corinthians 14:33. This is probably because the woman was beguiled in 1 Timothy 2:14. Then He told me to take my concordance and to survey the commands in the New Testament that were specifically spoken to women. So I did. I took my concordance and I looked up the word women, wives, so on and so forth. And so you may find something that I didn't find there, but that's what He told me to do, so that's what I did. So I did a quick survey. And under the word wife, there were 6 commands, all of them concerning submission to the man. And under the word wives, there were 6 commands. 5 were clearly concerning submission to the man, and 1 was commanding her to be faithful in all things, which of course has to include that, wouldn't you say? Under the word woman, there were 12 commands, and all of them concerning submission to the man. 1 more command was given to Timothy to tell the woman to take care of their widows. Under the word women, there were 7 commands, 6 concerning submission to the man, and 1 was concerning modesty so that she would not tempt the man, which is, again, for the sake of the man. Right? Well, I was kind of shocked when I did this. I had no idea that there were a much wider span of commands given to women. I was shocked. So I went back to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, all these commands are concerning the woman's submission to the man, or else not tempting the man by dressing immodestly, you know. And He said, the reason that I gave the woman no other commands than these is because all other commands were to be given through the man. Even these scriptural commands were given through men. The woman is under the man's authority. He is her head. I will not go around him. I have not done so even in the Scriptures. See, what God is doing here is he's showing us that he's being careful not to undermine the authority of the man. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now maybe we could take a moment here to look at Numbers chapter 30. I want to show you just how much authority that God gives to the man. I'll read Numbers chapter 32. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. When a man voweth a vow unto the Lord, or sweareth an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Also, when a woman voweth a vow unto the Lord, and bindeth herself with a bond, being in her father's house, in her youth, and her father heareth her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father holdeth his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. So in other words, if the father permits the girl to say something that will bind her soul, and he lets it go, then it's done. But if he disannuls it, then God will not count it against her. Look, folks, I've done this in my own house here with my children, you know, who have said things that are contrary to the blessing and the commands of God, you know. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. And you know what? Your children can sometimes speak things that will bring a curse on them. And wives too, because it goes on to talk about wives in that way. And I've just said right flat out, I said, no, we don't accept that. We don't believe that. Nope, I don't buy that or whatever, you know. Just don't accept it. But if her father disallowed her in the day that he heareth, none of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father disallowed her. Notice the authority that God invests in the man. In the father, in this case. And if she be married to her husband while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound herself. You know, there are a lot of rash utterances that are spoken out of the mouths of course, men and women, because we need to learn how to speak, because the Lord says, as you have spoken in my ear, so shall it be unto you. You know, when they complained about dying in the wilderness, God said, well, that's what you're going to get. You know, so you have to be careful. Agree with the Word of God. You know, speak as an oracle of God, like Peter said, right? And if you don't, then repent quickly. The Bible tells you in Ecclesiastes, be careful what you say while you're on earth and God's in heaven. Be careful what you say. You know? Don't bring the sacrifice of fools before him. That's what he calls it. So, you know, in this case, I've had my wife say things that were contrary to what we have claimed, contrary to the good confession that we're supposed to be making in the sight of many witnesses. Things that could anger God because they don't prove you to be a believer. And you know what? He gives the husband authority to annul those words. Verse 7. I'm going to read verse 6 again. And if she be married to the husband while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her husband hear it, and hold his peace at her in the day that he heareth it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow her in the day that he heareth it, then he shall make void her vow wherewith which is upon her, and the rash utterance of her lips wherewith she hath bound her soul, and the Lord will forgive her. But the vow of a widow, or of her that is divorced, even everything wherewith she hath bound her soul, shall stand against her. And see, it is, there is an advantage to being submitted to a husband here instead of having your own authority, which he says is the divorced or the widow. Okay. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul with a bond, with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace with her and disallowed her not, then all her vow shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband made them null and void in the day that he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, and he establisheth all her vows and all her bonds, so on and so forth. And this, verse 16, these are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter, being in her youth in her father's house. Well, why didn't they make more than that? I mean, today, you know, you have an awful lot of single women. You have an awful lot of divorce. And it didn't appear to look at the rules that the Lord gave us that in the days of the Jews that there were an awful lot of unmarried women. It seems like they all got married. And even they were even given a command in 1 Timothy 5 to marry. You know, the widows were given a command. Widows are probably even divorced too. And it does in 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 16 give elders some authority in the life of a widow or probably divorced people too. However, I want to say this, that if you've got an elder that is counseling single women, it has to be in other company. You take a break. Well, Terry said the phone rang at the right time. You are listening to Unleavened Bread Bible Study. For information and materials, please go to americaslastdays.com. americaslastdays.com. Or send a self-addressed stamped envelope to David Eales, Post Office Box 5069, Navarre, that's Navarre, Florida, 32566. And we're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio. That's Spirit Number One Radio. American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. By the way, you can visit those broadcasting networks at spirit1.us. Spirit1.us. May God bless you.
Brother Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Numbers 30 and verse 15. Read that one and explain what we're just talking about.
But if he shall make them null and void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. In other words, if she brings a curse on the house because he let it go, then so be it. I mean, the husband has authority. He's supposed to use it. He's been given a command of God to use it. Yeah. Let me make something clear to you. I fellowship with many churches and many sisters in ministry. And in many cases, some cases, they don't have this conviction. They have not learned what the Scripture has to say here. I don't feel under law to correct people like that. You know, I'm not the Savior, and I don't take authority that's not given unto me. It's my job just to obey the Lord. He's the Lord. So I don't have to automatically correct people when they're astray of this, but when I teach, I have to teach what the Bible says and the Bible only. And I have to let it fall where it will. It will offend some people when you teach the Bible. But if it's only the Bible, I've got nothing to fear. And I know that the Lord has taught me that when you teach the truth, it has a good effect in both driving off the people who don't love the truth and in saving the people that do. You know, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. The truth is, when we speak only the word of God, it will judge people. People that reject me when I speak only the word, that don't bother me. They're rejecting the Lord. They're not rejecting me. So we need to be on the right side of this subject. You know, there's an awfully good parable that the Lord gave to a couple on my website. The article is called, it's under the dreams and visions, and the article is called Hearken and Escape. And it was a story about how the Lord could not save a couple because the man was submitted to the woman instead of the other way around. It's just an awesome article. Also, I might add, there's an awesome prophecy on my site given by Stephen Crowder under an article called The Word, Women, and Authority. It's a very long prophecy, but it's all about America and America sliding into corruption in this manner of the wives taking authority over the men, or the women taking the authority over the men. We've seen from the scriptures and the words that I've just shared with you straight out of the Word of God, what God's command is. It hasn't changed today. We're supposed to be contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's not the faith of our day. That's not the reprobate faith of our day. It's the faith that they had. We've got to go back, folks. We've got to go back and pick it up again. The Bible says that they will hear a word behind thee. This is the way. Walk ye in it. The truth is, we're hearing a word behind us. We've gone on and departed. The Bible says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. Did you hear that? Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. There are a lot of people that start with you in the kingdom, but not everyone sticks with the teaching. And I want to warn you that love the truth, that once you see what God's Word says, repent, change your mind. That's what it means. Metanoeo, change your mind. And begin to submit to that. It's the only way of blessing. God will bless you if you'll do it. For women, God looks for a different thing in women than He looks in for men. Women have their own commands in the Scriptures. Men have their own commands in the Scriptures. And we don't obey the individual commands that are given to us. We're building our house on the sand. The storm and the wind is coming, and that house is going to fall. So right now, folks, there's a great storm coming. Matter of fact, I believe this year America will see a storm. We're going to see storms here in Guns Cove. And they're from the Lord, too. Get prepared. Build your house on the rock now. And the rock is the Word of God. Not the modern-day Word of God, the one and only Word of God. Build your house on that. It will stand. Have any questions there, Terry?
Yeah, we have questions. But I have... I turned off all the text, so the questions are going to be coming. I just undotted the text where they can cross them.
Okay.
So, but I did have questions from earlier.
Okay.
And you probably answered this already, but how much authority does the wife have over her husband's body in praying for his healing? Does she have more or less authority than he has over his own body? Sometimes it seems like my prayers for him are more effective than his. Plus, he is not as apt to pray for himself. When my husband prays for my healing, it has immediate effect, even though I may have had very little results praying for myself. So it is obvious the priest of the home has the authority over me.
Well, you're one body, so you have the two shall become one flesh, the Bible says. So you have special authority over your mate, over their bodies, because that's your body. Ephesians chapter 5 tells the husband that the wife is his body, and vice versa. You know, so you have special authority involved in that. You know, it's not like you're believing for somebody else's body. You're believing for your body, right? So you have special authority there. If you go outside your family, by the way, you have less authority. Then you have to have some faith involved in the person who you're praying for, right? But when you, I don't ask my wife when I feel led to pray for her, and she needs a sickness. I don't have to get her permission, nor do I have to have her faith either. My children either. I mean, I pray a prayer with my children. They don't have to believe. I have authority here. God gives me authority. Now, if I pray over your children, it's a different story. You know, many times parents block the healing for their own children because of the way they're acting, disobeying the word or whatever, you know. So, yeah, I believe you have special authority. Now, I know a lot of people say what you're saying there, that they have faith for other people more than they have for themselves. And I don't experience that myself. I mean, I have just as much faith for myself as I have for others. And only thing I can say is that make sure that your heart is clean before God. You know, make sure that there's nothing between you and God, and that you're doing what you know to do. The Bible says, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We keep His commandments, and we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, make sure of that, you know. But I hear a lot of people say that. And, when you're praying for your husband, you have special authority, as when he prays for you. Anything else there?
Yeah, what about, I don't know who these people are, so that's why I'm asking. What about the women saints like Catherine Coleman or Amy McPherson, etc.?
Mm-hmm. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about the woman praying or prophesying. A woman can pray and prophesy in the church. That doesn't make her a teacher, because prophesying is not teaching. Prophesying is the Lord using you to speak to the body. That's not you doing it. See, a woman doesn't have authority to teach or take authority, but she can pray or prophesy. Amy Semple McPherson was a prophetess. And from what I can see, she had a very good gift. Catherine Kuhlman had gifts of healings. But I can tell you one thing, she shouldn't have been teaching, because she taught some things that some people after her who actually received her anointing still teach wrong. You know, she taught some things that I was awed about faith. You know, how that it's not really faith that people receive healing. Well, you know, Catherine was speaking about her gift of faith, that she gave words of knowledge and gave healings through her gifts of faith. But I can tell you what, folks, an awful lot of people that went to her meetings didn't get healed. Just like the ones that go to the Benny Hinn meetings don't get healed. A majority of people that go there for healing don't get it. The people, when there is a gift of the word of knowledge or a gift of faith there and people get healed, that's fine. But what about all the rest of the people? They're entitled to healing too. You know what? If you teach faith correctly, people are going to get healed. And it doesn't matter whether the gift of faith is working there or not, or gift of miracles, or gifts of healings is working there or not. If you teach faith and you teach people their rights in the kingdom, they're going to get healed.
Amen.
So it's not a matter of making them subjective to us the rest of their life. I mean, the people went there to Catherine because they thought that was the only place they could get healed. So they came and they came and they came. But you know, Catherine didn't teach correctly concerning people's faith and receiving healing. I've actually heard her teach against faith, because to her it didn't make any difference whether they had faith. She had this word of knowledge and a gift. So she exercised it, and she would say, well, no, it doesn't have anything to do with faith. Well, you know what? She left a lot of people out there that never got their healings. That's false teaching. And she shouldn't have been teaching. She wasn't called to teach. She was called to heal the sick. She had a gift of healing. She should heal the sick. That's good. Benny Hinn shouldn't teach against faith either. He teaches some things that are just hogwash, but he has gifts of healings, and that's good. You know what? We shouldn't step out of our gift. The gift is God. You are you, right? And me, I'm me. But when the gift is flowing, that's God. You know, we should never offend God. We shouldn't go against that gift, you see. You know?
Question, will the man-child be only men? Is it only the man-child who will be the bride?
The man-child is a type of the bride. And I believe a ministry is coming just like Jesus' ministry, just like the disciples' ministry. I'm not saying that the first fruits are all men. But I am saying that there is a man-child coming whose ministry is going to be like Jesus and like the disciples. And that God's not going to depart from that. I don't want to go beyond my own understanding, because there are things I know and then there's things I don't know. And I don't want to teach things I don't know. And I don't want to add to the Word or take away from the Word. But I do know that there are going to be women who are going to be first fruits. And I do know that there's going to be a man-child ministry. Okay? So, don't stress me beyond that, because I really don't want to go into an area I don't know. I try to teach what the Lord has spoken to me, or what He's revealed to me in the Word, and I don't want to go beyond that. Something else?
Sure. My friend, a woman, wants to know if she can show a man what the Word says about something, even though she is a woman.
You know, I'm not going to try to show you where the line is there, because that's what grace is all about. You understand? I know that there were people in the Gospels who were teaching lost men, sharing with them the Gospel, like evangelists. You know, there were women that did that. You know? I'm not trying to show you where the line is. I'm just trying to share with you the Word. It's kind of like the Bible teaches for women to be modest. But if you do like some of the churches and tell them what modesty is, then you're stepping over the line here, you see. I mean, it tells you the woman should have long hair, for instance. But when you start telling women how long their hair has to be, then you're kind of stepping over the line into legalism, you see. Or, and the same thing here, I think. You know, I don't want to try to tell you what the line is. But just be mindful of the fact that the Lord doesn't want you to be a teacher of men.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, there's something the Lord showed me, is that if they are unregenerate men, they're not men anyways. They're beasts, Paul called them. But that's what the Lord showed
me. Well, I have thought about that. I've thought about that, Terry. That's come to me, that women could actually teach lost men. But I can't say I rest at the Lord on that, because He really hasn't revealed it to me. But I have thought about it.
Yeah.
But sharing the Gospel isn't actually taking authority.
No, it's not taking authority. It is teaching. It is teaching.
Even just sharing the Gospel?
It's teaching.
John 3:16. Then.
If you showed and shared how to stick someone with a needle to draw blood, you're teaching them how to do it, even though you just share it. I mean, it's the same thing.
You have something else there?
Yeah. What about the women that are preaching and saying that their husband is their covering, allowing them to preach in the church?
Well, we know how many verses you have to deny in order to do that. That's like saying, my husband gave me permission to disobey the Word. Well, no, you have commands given to you. You're forbidden to teach or take authority over the man. Nobody can give you permission to do that. The devil is attempting to give you permission to do that. If he forbids it, he forbids it. Your husband probably needs some education if he's telling you such a thing as that. Probably needs to know what the Word says, you know. Let him study. Let him find out. The women that are using this for an excuse, I'm thinking of one in particular, who's a pretty popular teacher. But I can tell you that this woman says she's in submission to her husband, but that's not the truth. That is not the truth. I know, I can feel the spirit that's coming forth there. And have you ever noticed, let me ask you this, I noticed this. Have you ever noticed that a lot of women who begin to teach or take authority over the man, they begin, their voice many times gets deeper? You ever notice that? Their voice gets deeper?
Their voice
it's like something is changing in them that's not correct. I mean, there is a separation from truth there that's bringing a perversion. Nope, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't care about all the excuses. I've heard of them, and none of them hold water. I mean, the Bible just says what it says, and we just need to... When it's in black and white, we need to just accept what it says and humbly submit. If we don't, it's not other people. Well, it is other people, but it's mainly us that's going to bear the curse for that, you see.